Paul, thank you so much. We're going to spend a few moments reflecting on those verses and that wonderful story that Jesus tells. And the thing about the story here that Jesus tells us is that it is a parable, a made-up story with a spiritual meaning in order to teach us a lesson about reality. And what Jesus is looking to teach us about here this morning in this parable is about what his kingdom will be like when he returns. So much of the Advent season is eating chocolate in preparation for Christmas Day, isn't it? That's what we do. I see some smiles over there. Maybe you've had some chocolate already this morning. But the real meaning and significance of the season of Advent is our looking forward to his second coming, to his return in glory. That's what Advent is really about. Because we still have that anticipation ahead of us, my friends. But what will that return be like? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What will Christ's coming kingdom really be like? Well, the thing about it is it's something that is so amazing and so otherworldly that it's very difficult for us to get our puny minds around. And so what Jesus does is he tells us stories from everyday things that we know about in order to give us hints, connection points. And the connection point here is that the coming of Jesus's kingdom is like a great big banquet. It's like a feast. It's like a celebration. It's like a party. We all love parties, don't we? Now, the thing about parties is, I don't know how you feel. Parties are always dependent on how we feel in any given moment, aren't they? You know, I've had the flu over the last couple of weeks. And if you'd invited me to a party, that wouldn't have been such a good proposition, if I'm honest with you. Perhaps this morning, as you hear of this great banquet, there are things going on in your life that are sapping you of joy, where even hearing about a party, hearing about a banquet, hearing about Jesus coming back for celebration, actually, it doesn't really fill you with the joy that it ought to. And if that's you this morning, this celebration when Jesus returns, it won't be that way. It will be the kind of party that you really can get on board with, because everything will be transformed. Everything will be different. You will be transformed so that you are able to enjoy this future that Jesus promises. It will be joy and bliss, even for you. That is what Jesus is coming is. It's a promise of joy everlasting, even for you, whatever's going on in your life at the moment. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when we're bearing up under difficulty? That he promises that there will be a day in which there is relief, in which there is joy. Now, the thing about this party, like every party, is that there's anticipation, isn't there? There's preparation. And the invite to the party has gone out. And it is going out. It's an invitation that is going out right now all over the world, even this morning as I speak. It's an invitation that goes like this. Jesus, he died to take away our sin. Jesus died to take away all those things in our lives that we know are not right, all those things in our lives that we regret, all those things in our lives that we look back on and say, I don't know what came over me. He died to take all of those things away. And when he rose again in glory, he promised that death is not the end. He promised that death is not the thing that will win. He is the one who has triumphed. And he welcomes each one of us. This is his invitation to live with him in unspeakable joy forever. And the thing about this invitation, like all good parties that you get invited to, it's free, isn't it? Yeah, you get invited to a party. You don't normally get charged to come to a party, do you? I mean, that would be a strange party. But the thing about parties is they're free to those who come, but they're not free to the host, are they? If you've put on a party over December, you're hosting people for nibbles and sausage rolls, it's not free for you, is it? And it is not a party that is free for Jesus as the host. It cost him everything. You know, that's why Jesus comes down at Christmas. He comes down to become one of us, to experience life in our terms as one of us. And he gives his life for us. He dies for us. He gives it all for us. He bears the cost for us. This great party, this great celebration, it is not free. It is not free to him as the host. But like every good invitation, we need to accept the invitation, don't we? There's an RSVP attached to the invitation of Christ to this party. And Jesus, he longs for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter if we've grown up in church. It doesn't matter if we've been coming along every single week. It doesn't matter if we're on PCC. He longs for each and every one of us to say, yes, Jesus, I want you. I want to be with you forever. Have you accepted the invitation that Jesus has made to you to come and live with him forever? Now look, the main tension point here in the story, and what made the story funny for us, as we saw Rosemary and Lucy and Paul come to the front, was the excuses, wasn't it? There was something of a comedy to it. These excuses that we saw both in the drama but also in the passage. But I don't know if you thought those were good excuses. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? It depends, right? Because, look, we had Paul. He needed to go to IKEA with his wife. He needed to go to IKEA with Anthea. Now, look, sometimes you need to go to IKEA, don't you? It's true. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with going to IKEA. IKEA's a good thing. All of the excuses that were given are all in and of themselves good things. They're things that need to be attended to. But the thing about life is that it's so easy to be trapped in a cycle of busyness, isn't it? Put your hand up if the words I'm very busy at the moment have crossed your lips in the last month. It's very hard to escape those words, isn't it? Because we associate busyness, we associate a full calendar, a full diary with fullness of life, don't we? I've got things going on in my life. I'm not just laying around. I'm an important person. I've got important people to see. I've got important things to do. And look, my friends, there is nothing wrong with that. God made us to work, to be busy, to be about things. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a problem, isn't there, when we become so busy that our eyes become obscured to that which is really important. It's true, isn't it? And oh, how often do we see that in family life? People whose lives are so busy that they lose the priorities, they lose the things that really matter. They get to 65 and they realise that they never actually spent any time with their kids. So busy have they been doing other things. We see that all the time, don't we? I meet people who tell me they regret having done that. And the thing about busyness, the thing about good busyness, the thing about living a full life, there's nothing wrong with it in and of itself. But if that busyness is not provisional, if within that busyness you can't find things that refocus you and force you to say, look, I know I'm busy, but this is more important then you are going to miss out on some very important things in life. There ought to be things, oughtn't there, that even if our diaries are busy, these things are so important that they're able to break the commitments that are in our diary. Now look, if you were really, really busy and somebody gave you free tickets to the World Cup final, what would you say? It depends on whether you like football, doesn't it? Yeah. What would you do, Geraldine? Would you go? She would, wouldn't she? Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely would. Yeah. Because the value of the thing that I've been offered is greater than the things that I'm busy with. Yeah. What if somebody offered you, tickets to Disneyland Paris for the whole week with backstage passes? Well, it depends, doesn't it? If you like Disney, yeah. Tickets to Taylor Swift with a backstage. It depends. It depends on how much you value the thing. But now imagine the King of Kings, the God who made all things. He invites each and every one of us to know him in relationship that lasts forever. And to be with him in a place of bliss and joy and all goodness. To say I'm too busy for that, that would just be really silly, wouldn't it? It would be bonkers. And yet that is why what these people do in providing these excuses, as good as these excuses are, is so insane in the literal sense of the word. Because the invite from the king should have caused them to tear up their schedule and say, well, of course I'm coming. Of course I'll be there. Tell your master that I'll be there with bells on. That's the only sane response. And yet how often do we find ourselves being too busy for God? I find myself too busy for God, and I'm the vicar. You know, that should not be, my friends. And so here's the question for you. Have you accepted the invite to the future that Jesus is preparing for those who love him? Have you accepted that invite? And if you have accepted that invite, it's very easy, isn't it, to rest on our laurels and say, look, I know where I'm going. I know that I said yes to Jesus. I know that I belong to him. I'm looking forward to this banquet. In fact, whatever it really is in reality, I cannot wait to be there. But you know what? This same Jesus, he makes a daily plea to us. It is a daily invitation to draw near to him through prayer, through reading his word. He calls us, he beckons us. He says, look, come and find joy in knowing me. That is available to each and every one of us in the building this morning. And yet how often do we say to Jesus, I mean, we don't even say it, do we? We say it with our actions. Yes, Lord, I know that it's important to spend time with you, but I'm just too busy. What a tragedy that is. Every day, God invites us into his presence. How can I make space for him? Why don't you join me in a moment's quiet as we reflect on some of the things that God has been saying to us this morning. And then I'll pray for us. But really, it's a prayer for me. This dog collar here doesn't make me any less needy of these words this morning. How can I stop being too busy for God? Lord, if we're here this morning and we know the joy of belonging to Jesus, then we know that there is nothing better than being in his presence. And so we thank you, Lord, for this promise of a coming feast. And it's picture language to help us understand what joy is like, a celebration that lasts forever. Knowing you fully, seeing your glory, understanding your beauty, and knowing your goodness. And Lord, you offer us a foretaste of that even now as we draw near to you in prayer, as we hear from you and know you in your word. And yet, Lord, if we're honest, there are so many ways in which we run around busily doing things that are important, things that need to be done. And yet we so often find our diaries too full to spend time with you. We pray you forgive us. Help us, Lord, to make room, to make space for you this Christmas and beyond. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.